God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. During this time of Advent, we've been focusing on the prophet Isaiah. And as you have noticed, our Old Testament reading for today is not from Isaiah. In my plan for doing this Advent series, I had one little hiccup, so to speak. It's this weekend, the fourth weekend in Advent. So I brought in a different passage from Isaiah, again, to pick up with our theme of focusing on our coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, from Isaiah chapter 63, beginning with the 7th verse, which says, "I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness to the house of Israel that He has granted them according to His compassion, according to the abundance of His steadfast love. For He said, 'Surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely.' And He became their Savior. In all their affliction, He was afflicted, and the angel of His presence saved them. In His love and in His pity, He redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit. Therefore, He turned to be their enemy and Himself fought against them. Then He remembered the days of old, of Moses and his people. Where is He who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of His flock? Where is He who put them in the midst of His Holy Spirit, who caused His glorious arm to go out at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them to make for Himself an everlasting name, who led them through the depths like a horse in the desert? They did not stumble. Like livestock that go down to the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So you lead your people to make for yourself a glorious name." This is our text. The title of this message is "The Good Old Days." I will admit that phrase, "the days of old," occurs twice in our text, and it may bring us back to the time what we would think in our lives of the good old days. And typically when we would use this phrase, it would usually be in reference to some positive memory, and maybe thinking the good old days are much better than today's day. However, we have to realize that for some, the days of past may be well past. Maybe we don't want to bring back our past. And so looking to the good old days may actually cause us to question and saying, what was really good about them? But too often we like to use the phrase "the good old days" to sort of reminisce about the past, to glorify the past, and to shake our fingers, so to speak, at the present, thinking today is much worse than the past. Regardless how your past has been, or what your present currently is, today's text from Isaiah chapter 63 brings about some very interesting points. It first talks about the steadfast love of God, those glory days of old when God was leading the people of Israel with Moses, and there was a lot of victory. God was present. They could see the people. The people could see God with that pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire at night. And there was that special closeness. As this text is being written to the people of Israel, they may remember those glory days in the past. But what happened? They forgot about them. At least, why they existed. The reason why is because, as our text for today says, they rebelled and they grieved His Holy Spirit. And then something interesting in our text, which may surprise us, I don't know if you caught it, but after they rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit, therefore God turned to be their enemy, and He Himself fought against them. And you might be thinking, well, what kind of loving, caring God is this that turns His back upon His own people? Yes, the people of Israel rebelled. And because of that, they were cast into exile And in one essence, yes, God was against them. But our text does not leave them at that relationship. Our text then says, then God remembered his covenant and restored them. Now, please take very careful note of the actions here. It was God who first came to the people of Israel and said, I will be my God, you will be my people. Notice the direction, God coming to them. They in turn rebelled. God sort of turning his back now upon them. And then after a period of time, it is God who returns back to them and establishes a new covenant. Eventually they would come out of exile back to the promised land. Please notice that when anything positive is happening, it's because God is taking the initiation. When anything negative is happening, it's because humanity was the one who turned their back upon the gracious God. Taking a look at Advent and our theme, past, present, and future, for the people of Israel, when they would hear these words, they would be reminded. They'd be reminded that, yes, they were the ones who turned their back upon God. And that they'd be reminded and given a sense of hope that, yes, that time would come to an end. They would return back to the promised land and back into a relationship with a loving, caring, generous God. The coming of God for them was the end of the exile, the restoration, the good old days being restored, so to speak. Now, for us in today's world, Advent present. Like the people of Israel, God's people, we also are blessed by God. We also bear God's name. We may remember even through our own baptism when God places his name upon us, name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in whose name we were baptized, and we were given this wonderful, glorious name of God. But also likewise, like the people of Israel, we also have rebelled against God. And it almost sort of begs the question. If we have rebelled against God, and we have indeed, does God then become our enemy? And does God then fight against us? And the answer is yes. Now, maybe not the way that we would initially think. I will admit, I'm waiting for some televangelist to come by and say that our current economic crisis is because the U.S. has turned away from God, or that maybe the U.S. Mint has decided or wants to decide to get rid of "In God We Trust" on our currency. It would not surprise me if someone would say that. I am, however, am not going to say it. God does turn his back upon us, even against his own people. Surely, yes, because if we sin and when we disobey, we are grieving his spirit. To Jesus' own apostle, Peter, one of the spokesmen for the apostles, he says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. You are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And so whenever we set our hearts and our minds on the things of man instead of the things of God, we are turning our back upon God. We also are grieving God. James picks up the similar point in chapter 4, verse 6. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Yes, we are opposed. In one essence, we are considered to be the enemies of God when we act according to our sinful nature. And like the people of Israel, during the time of Isaiah, we also need a Savior. We need a Savior who is God, who remembers his covenant. We need a God to send that Savior who we realize was sent in Bethlehem. We need a deliverer. And God himself is the one who delivers. We need God to remember his covenant of old, the good old days, the glory days, when he was in a proper relationship with his people, and to remember those promises that he would be our God and we would be his people. and to restore us. Why? Because too often, like the people of Israel, we also break that covenant. Now, when we talk about covenants, which are basically promises of God, we cannot go too far without going to the covenant that Jesus established right before he was crucified. The promise, the covenant, so to speak, of the Lord's Supper. As the disciples were eating and Jesus was eating this meal in doing the Passover, so to speak, the time in which God delivered the people of Israel, when the firstborn of Egypt were going to be killed, Christ institutes a new Passover, a new covenant, based on his own self-sacrifice upon the cross, which was going to be coming. And he says, "Do this in remembrance of me," as he invokes this new covenant. This new covenant which surpasses the old covenant. This new covenant which supersedes the old covenant. This new covenant which reestablishes that relationship between humanity and God. In establishing this covenant, a gracious God again takes the initiative when humanity has turned its back upon God. God takes the initiative to reconnect us back to him, to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And in doing so, he says, "Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood." In doing so, he says, "I will be your God." We are reminded of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians about this. He says, "Do this often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And then Paul continues and says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So when we eat this bread and drink the cup, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are being connected again to this new covenant. And again, please note the action again. This is taking us back to the good old days, back to the days of the initial Passover when God was delivering his people. Because when we eat that bread and drink that wine, the body and blood of Christ, we are causing God to remember his covenant, to remember his promises, to remember the good old days when we were in relationship with him. And why would we want God to remember those days? Because too often in our thoughts, our words, and our actions, we have turned our back upon God. And we need restoration. And God says, here's restoration. Whenever we eat and drink the body and blood of Christ, we are causing God to remember his covenant. Remember that our sins are appeased by his own Son through his death on the cross. We bear his Son's name, so that no longer are we enemies of God, but children of God. So during this time of Advent present, we remember that, yes, God does come to us daily, or at least every time that we remember and are reattached to him through his word and sacraments. God comes to us through this bread and wine so that he can remember his covenant with us. Now, please remember the idea. Remembering is that of recalling. Our sins are not connected to us, but through Christ's sacrifices, our sins are recalled to Christ. So that when God the Father looks at us, he does not look at us and see our sins. Those sins were taken care of when Jesus dies on the cross. So he looks at us as loving children, loved by him. He doesn't see our sinfulness. Instead, he pronounces us as his dearly beloved children. Advent for the future, God will remember again. Bring back those glory days. But now, this time, not the glory days of the people of Israel, not the glory days of Moses, but now the glory days of Adam and Eve before the fall. The good old days when there was no sin and God had a perfect relationship with Adam and Eve. God says, I'm going to restore this place and restore humanity to that relationship. And God will remember again and finally come the last advent with a new heaven and a new earth. Like the Lord's Supper, which we have to wait until the next time we celebrate the divine service, for this final coming, we also have to wait. We have to wait and trust in God's promises. This time a little bit longer than we have to wait for the next divine service, but we are waiting again for Christ to come in his final advent. So if the current days are not the quote-unquote good old days, or not as good as the good old days, or maybe they might be worse than the good old days, we just trust that Christ and his promises are there for us today. When we can't see it because it seems like too many things are cluttering our lives, we have to realize that, yes, our sinful nature continues to operate opposed to God. So we return to where God remembers his promises with us. We return to where God brings himself to us through his word and through his sacraments. This is the last weekend of Advent, as we look at the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His coming in past, especially in Bethlehem, his coming now to us through word and sacrament, and his coming again to restore humanity with a new heaven and a new earth. More than likely, if you come later on this upcoming week, it is a new season. We move from Advent, which is a preparatory season, to Christmas, in which we celebrate the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, we have a God who remembers his promise. And so we ask God to continue to come to us even today and to remember his promises. Like the prayer we'd sometimes say right before dinner, come, Lord Jesus. Jesus does come here, now, and he will come again. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.